Welcome to the Buyer's Desk, your weekly resource for all things natural food retail.
This season, we're shaking things up with shorter weekly episodes to fit your busy schedule.
Each month, we dive into SPINS data, explore trends with industry leaders, spotlight emerging brands, and share actionable strategies to help you thrive.
Get ready to explore the world of natural food retail.
Hey Info members, Chris here, and I've got something I'm genuinely excited to share with you. Introducing the 2025 Info Buyers Box, a curated selection of 11 amazing brands that you'll find at this year's tabletop show at the Info Annual Conference in St. Paul this July. The Info Buyers Boxes are hitting stores in early July, and trust me, you're going to want to open this one right away. Every single product in this box has been fully vetted by our Info category management team. These are standout brands, innovative, values-driven, and ready to bring value to your shelves if they're not there already. And I've got to shout out some of my personal favorites. Bachan's, a Buyer's Desk alumni brand and absolute staple in my kitchen. I had the pleasure of interviewing founder Justin Gill, and the story behind this Japanese barbecue sauce is just as good as the flavor. I love marinating chicken in it and throwing it on the charcoal grill. Trust me, this stuff is magic. Go Macro has been a long time go-to for me, and the protein pleasure, you know, peanut butter and chocolate, it just never misses. Mezcla, a newer favorite for me. I've been bouncing between the peanut butter chocolate, almond chocolate, and the brand new blueberry maple. Big flavor, clean ingredients, and a strong brand story. I also use Natural Vitality Calm every day. It has been a game changer for keeping my migraines in check and winding down after a long day. And if you know me, you know I love a good seasonal fix. Yum Earth and their Sour Giggles are a springtime obsession, so I'm pumped for their Sour Littles in this year's box. I also want to give a quick shout out to the rest of the stellar lineup. We got Back to Nature with their clean ingredient snacks, Barnana, an upcycled organic snack powerhouse. We have NeoCell and Rainbow Light, two supplement brands bringing serious wellness credibility, Rishi for elevated direct trade teas, and Pure, a dentist recommended clean label gum and mints. The Buyer's Box is designed to get you excited, inspired, and ready to plan your orders using the included Show Deals FAQ and summary sheet, along with our new improved suggested order tool. So dig in, explore, and start getting ready for the best deals of this year, and I will see you on the show floor in July. Hey folks, and welcome to the Buyer's Desk and Info Podcast. I am Chris Sorensen.
And I'm Angela Bozo, and we are your hosts.
And this month, we're turning the spotlight on something very close to our hearts, independence. From indie-owned natural food stores to the mission-driven indie brands that got their start on the shelves just like yours, we're celebrating what it really means to be independent in this industry. We're talking about the power of values-based retailing, the role indie retailers play in championing small brands, and how independence still drives innovation and integrity in the natural food space, even as the market shifts and acquisitions happen. So to help us zoom out and see what all of this means in terms of real-world impact, we've brought on Jim Olson, SPINS Senior Retail Insights Manager. Jim, why don't you break this down for us?
Happy to. Thanks for having me, Chris. And happy Independence Day to both of you. As you know, I am an infraholic and have been for the past 7 years. What that means is that I'm constantly championing and cheering on independent retailers across the country to succeed in a marketplace that's kind of built against them. And same goes with those wonderful independent brands that we all know and love. You know, could be my teenage punk rock roots that just refuse to go away. But I mean, everyone loves seeing the little guy stand up to the man. And luckily, SPINS data shows that indie retailers, especially our wonderful Infra members, are doing a pretty good job in that fight. I looked at the most recent data available at SPINS, and Infra is outperforming both traditional conventional retail channel as well as the broader natural channel itself, which speaks really well to just our membership and the health and the direction we're going, right? Dollar growth for Infra up 8%, which is 6% for the natural channel, and 2% for conventional unit growth, which has been a particular strength for Infra post-COVID, up 6% compared to the natural channel's 2%, and conventional is pretty flat. So just those two metrics alone, before getting into all the other things we can speak to, Infra as a unified membership is selling more items and earning sales at a faster clip than all the other guys out there. Now, don't know about you, but that makes me feel pretty good.
I think it needs a classic, Angela, I love that.
Well, I do love that.
I know. And I love it too.
I mean, and I guess there's a piece of me that feels like, is that just, you know, it's a piece of people's brand and therefore we give shelf space? Or I was trying to think if I had seen an example of somebody specifically calling it out on shelf, and I can't think of one. And actually, based on what you look at, how would you even succinctly do that? This brand is still independently owned and operated. This brand is not owned by a major multinational conglomerate. Like, are we going to get through this conversation without talking about like the Poppy acquisition? I feel a little bit like, you know, how do you, I don't even know what I'm asking here. Has anyone seen anyone sign a product independent? That's what I'm asking.
I mean, I think over the past year and a half, there is a number of big names we could be name dropping across this episode, right? And, you know, for better or worse, there are things that there are times when a brand is absorbed by somebody larger and it's left alone to be itself. But there are times when, you know, well, adjustments happen after a year, 2 years, ingredients start to swap out. And then independent natural retailers, such as our members, you know, who have strong product standards, you know, beyond the big boxes down the street, and have those principles and values baked into their business mission statement, can make some adjustments. I can speak to the spin side of things. We do not have a flag for independent owned brand by any means. Well, we have an attribute filter for company. So if you were looking for a brand, want to verify it's not part one of the, you know, one of the bigger CPG firms out there, you can do it that way. You can also look to see, you know, what are the types of brands, independent or otherwise, who do still uphold my values. And that could be through certain ingredients, ingredient inclusions or ingredient exclusions. Another filter you can use through Spins data. I'll look at certifications, right? Is it non-GMO? Is it B Corp? Are these the values that, you know, basing my, again, business mission statement, the for or against?
Yeah. And I think there's also, you know, I don't know if I've seen anyone label anything specifically like independent at shelf, but I know that, you know, the Cornucopia Institute has their organic independent list. So those are a list of brands that are independently owned and 100% organic. And they have the booklet, they have the website and the page. And I know that they've provided some materials to certain retailers to help support that initiative. If we could get to the point of having a sign that like could call out independence, I think there's an organization that all three of us are associated with that could be really great at helping support retailers in making signs like that. So I see that as a great opportunity for us. But part of it is finding out who those brands are, right? So I think if you think about it through like a local sense, a lot of local items or small producers are still independent, right? So being able to call out other attributes that are known, like within our industry, like local, small producer, you know, Angel, we got into that debate, is what is local? How do we do local or small producer the way to go? But then thinking about that lens of independent, right? At that point of acquisition, right? And then how is that then presented at shelf? And is that important to like call out that kind of stuff at shelf or see how the consumers respond?
I feel like at least to a few people. I mean,
yeah.
You know, I mean, that I wouldn't necessarily consider the majority of consumers to be necessarily interested there, but if you're already shopping in one of our stores, then I think there's at least some percentage of you that already cares where your money is going. And I think that is part of this conversation, right? Is making sure that we're still enabling, you know, smaller entrepreneurs to thrive. Actually, looking at the Cornucopia Institute's list, you realize that like some of these people have very wide distribution. Like they have not had to succumb to this like larger ideal that you eventually like get to this place where you're unable to scale and then you're going to need some kind of outside investment or some kind of merger and acquisition to keep going. There's some really inspirational like big brands. So it was great to look at.
Yeah, one I didn't expect to see on that list was Yogi Tea. And I was like, really? But then there's some of my favorites, like Grandy Organics is on there. And of course, that's just their vibe. And that's why we're having them on the show later this month, you know, where I talk to Aaron Anker and we really like, man, we just go in and talk about that genuine core independence. And he calls out a really great story with John Wood that I can't wait for you guys to all hear on that episode. I'm not going to spill the beans.
Or the grain, or the oats, really miss a granola pun opportunity?
Oh
there.
My God. Yeah, especially with them formerly called Grandi Oats.
Okay, let me ask you about this. We're in the industry and we're also having this conversation as consumers, right? So when you think about a brand being independently owned and operated, what does that mean to you as a consumer, knowing what you know, like industry-wise?
For me, I'll go first. I said, 7 years here, I love all aspects of it. Expo West, the KE shows are some of my favorite times just to see these brands. There was a brand, Bali Good, Indian-inspired lemonades. And I saw them at the last Expo East, just out in the hallway, like not in the halls, but in the hallway with just a single tiny little booth handing out samples and stickers. And I remember because a very sparkly sticker, right? And it's like, oh, that's really fun. And then here they are. They had a full booth up in the hot products at Expo West this year in 2025. Like, oh, think of how far they came. Like, it makes me so excited, right? My family is raised very conventional food driven, right? So they don't get that same kind of excitement. And so it thrills me to no end when they succeed. When I do a little inside the kitchen peek here, but when I put together presentation decks for spins, or when I'm helping out infra or anything industry facing, I purposely look for independent brands that I think are cool, that have a good shot, and put them as brand examples for this type of trend or that kind of trend to give them that extra boost, just because it excites me so much to help to see them grow and to see them succeed.
And do you think part of that is because you know how hard that is?
Yeah, I mean, I've never been the man in the arena, right? Is the popular thing. I haven't been in the trenches doing that, but I know from speaking to these brands and working with them and speaking to the retailers about these brands, it is hard. It is hard. I mean, it's hard to run a store, right? Your margins are small. It's hard to run a brand. You're at the whim, especially in this day and age and this economic forecast we're in. There are some very difficult uphill battles to face. And so to see them succeed, to see a Yogi, right? And say like, you're everywhere and you're independent. Like, that's crazy. It just makes me super, super excited. They did it, right? They broke three. They made it past that, all those hurdles that are just default in their way. As mentioned the outset of the episode, right? In a marketplace that's designated to kind of almost be work against them, they found success. And that I find something very inspiring in that.
Yeah, I love that, Jim. And I think about it too, like where do I want my money to go? You know, I think a lot over even the past year, people have considered where they want their money to go or not go based on how companies and or brands, you know, exude their values and or don't, right? So I think about, you know, independent brands, local brands, you know, like that's where I want my money to go because it ultimately goes back into a community and is like flourishing that community and not just lining someone's pockets. So when I think about like, do I want to buy this brand over that brand? I think about where's this money eventually going? Who am I supporting? And sometimes I will make the decision, like I've actually been buying 7 Sundays protein oats at the co-op. They're not organic. I kind of was like, oh man, that's kind of a bummer. But they're a local brand that I absolutely love that I want to support and I want to see them succeed because I saw them start with their muesli. I saw them go into the, you know, the upcycled cereal and now they're coming out with these protein oats. And it's like, well, you know what? I'm going to actually make a sacrifice and not purchase something that's organic because it's going to support this brand and I know where that money is going. And I know the people who actually own that company and they're fantastic people. And I know what they do within the community. So that's why where I think about with supporting independent brands and independent retailers, right?
Well, 100%. I look at it similarly, but different. I think for me, it is where you choose to spend money is one of the few real powers you have on this planet. And in terms of, you know, growing up in a capitalist economy and just thinking about making choices where I buy things sometimes that I don't need yet because I want their movement to look good, which is it's like an industry specific way to look at it, right? But at the same time, I also, you know, to your point too, Jim, I know how hard it is. I haven't started a brand. I know how hard it is. You know, I mean, you watch like the ebb and flow and like the great success and then the great failures. And, you know, and sometimes you can't really even point to some great reason why something didn't succeed in the marketplace. Like that dude worked hard. They had all the right distribution. They had all these things and it still could sometimes not come together. So yeah, a lot of respect for the work and then just a lot of a lot of feeling like, you know, this is my power on the planet, and I'm going to leverage it to make sure that the companies that I want to see succeed and I want to support continue to thrive as much as I can, $5 at a time.
And that's what I love. One of the things I love most about Infra and the members, right, is they have that same ethos. Like, hey, I'm going to give you a shot. Like, I know you personally. We had a conversation one-on-one. It wasn't a 5-minute pitch deck, you know, in a corporate office. We had a connection. We spoke about things. Like, you met my values. Like, you seem legit. Like, let's give you a shot. And Infra, time and time again across its 20-year history, has been the place to see and to experience these new trends, these new types of products, whether it was CBD or keto diet support from I guess not yesteryear, but, you know, from recent years to newer versions of that, you know, whether it's regenerative organic certification or upcycled, both up higher at Infra than they are across larger natural channel. Infra has been that home where innovation happens and where innovation is given a chance. And when I speak to broader spins, you know, our we work with retailers as well as brands. And when brands are looking for, you know, how do I get my start? Spins that start Infra. Like Infra, our friends down the street at NCG, like the co-ops, the indies, like those are your people. They're going to understand, you know, like if you say, you know, biodynamic to big box, or I don't know that's cool. Is that an ingredient? Like you speak it to an Infra member, like they get it. They get you. They're smart. They're educated in the industry. They're your people. And they've been, I'm happy that they've been to my people too.
I didn't think about independence in terms of innovation. You said it kind of briefly, but I do think that if you are an independent brand, you could be, I guess the word I'm looking for is a little bit more live. You could decide that you could do something faster or switch something up a little bit more than you would imagine would happen in a corporate food environment. I'm trying to think of a good example of this. Alex Ice Cream has their normal, amazing, delicious SKUs. And I feel like they are building on it, doing a protein-centric kind of smaller size. Is this ringing a bell for anyone?
No, I haven't heard of that, but no. I'm excited to see what that's all about.
Alex is doing a probiotic grass-fed ice cream in a smaller size. You get 4 cups in a thing, but they're called Culture Cup. And they're just doubling down on adding the probiotics to what is already a very nutrient-rich milk. I thought about, I don't know, they immediately came to mind as like, you have this amazing line of very delicious ice creams. Looking at you, Honeycomb SKU, I can barely have you in my house. You're so delicious. And then to think like, you could just ride those laurels and be like, hey, these pints sell great. This is going so well. And instead they're like, how can we add some amount of cool nutrition here and create this idea that, you know, now that we know that probiotics can live in frozen temperatures, like how can we capitalize on that? So maybe that works as an innovation.
Yeah, but I think maybe even to the point, right, is that when some of these independent brands come out with this stuff, who's going to bring it in first, right? The independent retailers bring it in first. Those are where it hits shelves first. And that's where brands try and sample this out. And, you know, I've talked to plenty of like brands, both being a category manager here at Infra and talking to founders through this podcast. And, you know, a lot of our on-air conversations and then the chats we have before and after, you know, people talk about how much they love Infra and like, that's where they were able to grow. That's where they started. That's where they blew up. Denise in the like first episode said she was selling stuff, you know, direct, like her first retailers were Infra retailers and Partake took off from there. You know, so, and I think we see that a lot, right? Some of our favorite independent brands, they're on our shelves and we see them grow. And then we see the posts on LinkedIn of like, I'm in Target, I'm in Costco, I'm in Whole Foods. And it's like, well, good for you, but don't forget where you came from. Like, don't forget to still support us, right? And that's where I think Infra, you know, we're able to build, have that leverage, right? To make sure that, you know, we can stand with some of these big box stores and we give, you know, Infra members a voice. And have that leverage on their behalf.
Yeah. Anyone out there on the brand side listening to this, like exclusive SKU or two, you know, we're down. Just letting you know we're available for that.
Yeah. I second.
It's got like a college kid vibe, right? Like you raise them up from their young, you know, you help them learn how to walk and then you send them off and, you know, come back for Thanksgiving. You know, come back for Christmas. Like, don't forget us, right? Like, we're happy for you. Like, the whole point of bringing you in the first place is to help you grow and to get a bigger audience so more consumers can enjoy you know, this nutritious component, right? This biodynamic, this regenerative organic certified, this non-GMO, this grain-free alternative. And so the point of bringing them in, right, is to help them succeed, right? To partner with them. And then sometimes, you know, it gets very lucky, right? And then maybe, you know, M&A does start sniff around and happens, but it's still a pretty cool thing to say that you're a part of that growth journey, and that, you know, you can be ready and find that next big one too.
Yeah. And I think that's a good call out, Jim, of that M&A journey, right? Cause you know, you got a chance to talk to Seth Goldman at Expo, and I chatted with him, for later this month to talk about, you know, his journey with Honest Tea and, you know, Coca-Cola shutting that down and then starting this new company, Just Iced Tea, out of that. And like, it's also interesting, right? Most of the times you see them go off into acquisition land and then that's just where they live forever. But for a story like this is also interesting, right? To now Just Iced Tea is an independent Leon brand again for now, right? I almost did want to ask Seth, like, so what are you thinking? But we did dive into M&As a little bit. But yeah, it's interesting to think too, like as they do go off into the acquisition land, that does give us the opportunity of like, do we still support that brand? Do they still have the integrity? Or, you know, does that give us space now to start working with this new emerging up and coming brand and like raise another child again, as using your analogy, right? And really that's our job, right? Is to continue to foster those emerging brands and those new independent, local, fun, unique brands to bring them to market and give them space in the marketplace. And so.
Yeah, I said to your Seth Goldman point, I was able to chat with him briefly a couple of years back at Expo, and did the M&A thing, turned out sadly for Honest Tea, came back with Just, and Infro was one of the first, like he knew, right? Veteran experience. Like I know how to get a brand started again. I start with Infro. Like I know if I want success, you know, as hard as the success is the first time through, if I want a chance at it second time through, start with Infro stores. They know what real ingredients are. They know, you know, they look at the back, they grab up, they're like, oh, this is cool packaging, instantly flip it over, start analyzing that new nutrition content and the ingredient list, right? And there are ways, you know, as X, Y, and Z brand get bought up and absorbed, give them a chance, see how things shake out, right? And then keep an update as if the corporate parent starts switching up formulas, swapping out ingredients. You know, Spins has ways, as I mentioned, to look at ingredient filters to see what is and is not included. And if that does no longer meet your store values, then, you know, we have filters to help you seek out some new voids to swap that in and find the next big one.
Thank you, Jim.
Yeah, so I'm just thinking, so I want to do a callback to last month's episode that we did on merchandising, where you talked about a report, Jim, where we could go in and see what's driving a category, what brand is driving a category. And so it made me think about the data you gave us at the beginning of this episode, that Infra is driving the natural industry, it sounds like, at least in the natural channel. So I think that's one thing out of all the things that we do at Infra, right? Like whether we're doing promotions or EDLP programs or we're doing displays and doing all of this stuff, I think to bring it all back to still understanding how much power and how big of a voice that we have in the independent industry, that we are driving this industry with the small little brand. But then overall, like, the growth, we're driving the growth in this industry. And I think that's something to the folks listening, to the folks working in the store, the folks owning businesses that are independently owned, who are driving the growth. And that's huge. And you should be proud of yourselves. And we're here to support that.
Well, in the same way that the independent brand is fighting the good fight, you know, Infra retailers fight the good fight by carrying the brand, figuring out that support, but also navigating a complicated landscape of, did this company just get bought? How do I feel about it now? It's moving, but I'm not sure I like that acquisition. So let me think about how I can think about this. You know, it's like, it's not like you bring it in and you get to set it and forget it. Like you also have to be at the point at which you have product standards and you decide you care where something comes from. That requires attention, focus, and, you know, the ability to reevaluate and maybe even prove yourself wrong. So yes, thank you all. Thank you, Jim, for the data. Thank you, Infra retailers. And thank you so much, independent brands. Hard on hard on hard. And yet we're all here for it. So thank you.
Well, thanks, y'all. Stick around for next upcoming episodes, really focusing on independent brands and independent retailers.
Thank you.
See you at the conference.
everyone. I'm Haley Craig, Events and Education Specialist here at INFRA.
And I'm Madeline Ware, Marketing and Communications Specialist.
This month, we're sitting down with INFRA board member Drew Alexander, owner of Cornucopia Health Foods in Sayville, New York.
Tune in to hear about Drew's journey from dishwasher to business owner and the lessons he's learned along the way. Plus, hear more about how Cornucopia is blazing trails in the natural food space, from their participation in 1% for the planet to their strict product standards.
Here's a sneak preview of our episode with Cornucopia Health Foods.
That not only is this place a great place to buy food, not only do we have like great deals or, you know, high quality product or whatever, but also like everybody loves working here. And this is a great community, and you want to support that community beyond just getting a good deal on canned tomatoes.
We can't wait to share these conversations with you. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode.
As we wrap up this episode of The Buyer's Desk, we'd like to extend our heartfelt thanks to the incredible INFRA staff, contributors, dedicated independent retailers, and visionary natural food brands and business partners that made this episode possible.
Stay tuned for more inspiring insights and stories in the world of natural food retail. Until next time, thank you for your support. Angela Bozo, co-host and administrator.
Chris Sorensen, co-host and producer.
Kim Rout, executive producer and segment contributor.
Jim Olson, Spin's segment manager.
Austin Hinkle, audio engineer.
Sarah Super, wellness strategist.
Madeline Ware, marketing writer, editor, and digital manager. Haley Craig, audio engineer and segment contributor.
Raina Kittredge, segment contributor.